everybody, and welcome back to the Indie Heads podcast. I'm your host, Maddie, a.k.a. at Monrovian Prince on Twitter. On this special edition of the podcast, we have...
Ethan, EON997 on Twitter.
Josiah, at Josiah, but with some underscores in there and spelled phonetically.
And we have a special guest with us on the podcast today, as we have Hannah from Womelda with us.
Hello.
Yeah.
So very, very happy to have Hannah on. She has a new record coming out in September called Thanks, and that's Thanks, THX, like the George Lucas Sound Company. Is that what it is? Is it George Lucas?
No.
You could have just said for you millennials out
there.
Well,
yeah, for you millennials out there, let me rewrite that joke. Live on the air. It's probably millions out there. It's a THX like you used to spell back in the 90s when you had those flip phones, or the early 2000s. But seriously, thank you, Hannah, for coming on the podcast. And yeah. So
Go on.
Oh, sorry. I was trying to lead into what you were going to say. I'm sorry.
No, you're good.
So, her new record comes out September 8th on Double Double Whammy, and I think everyone here has gotten a chance to listen to it early, and just right out the gate, one of my favorite records of the year so far, because I remember, your publicist, Eloy, sent it my way for consideration, and I kind of, I slept on it, because I think it was, in the, mid-July, there's a lot of stuff coming out, and so it was I'll get to it, and then, listen to it randomly, and was like, oh my god, this is a revelation. This is just instantaneously, aww, I think I put it on while I was driving to work, and I was just this is perfect. This aww is just... So, very happy to have Hannah on, and hopefully, talk about the new record and even more. So, I guess my first question about the new record is, it seems like one of the main themes of the album is traveling and, general awayness. And whether it be mentally or, physically. And so how did this concept for the record kind of come out, or how did it come about?
It came about because it's sort of just the state of my life at the moment and has been for a while. I live in a small town in Texas. My commute to my bandmates is at least 4 hours. And so I have a lot of driving in my life, not even counting touring and whatnot that musicians do. So that on its own, just sitting in the driver's seat for hours and hours solo can make you think about life and death and the fact that you're just sitting in a car. But yeah, it's funny that you said you listened to it just driving to work, because I mean honestly, that was, as far as the sound goes, that's what I had in mind. I wanted you to be able to wake up early and put it on and go to work.
Mm-hmm. It's like, I think it's a little shorter than my commute, but at that time I'm still kind of I just put it right back on. I have it on repeat, just start again, right before. But yeah, because the record, so about awayness and driving and a lot of mentions of locations, some of the song names, from here, out there, Interstate Vision, Only World, right now, if I can get slightly personal, kind of tied into what's happening in my life right now, I'm getting ready to move to Chicago at the end of the month, and driving to work 3 days a week, 45 minutes there and back. Mm-hmm. It's just sort of that weird feeling of I'm where I'm at right now is not exactly where I want to be, and I want to be away from all this, and that record, just sort of the stuff you talk about on there, is just really just perfect timing with what's going on in my life right now, and just kind of figuring out where I want to go. And let's see, how old are you, Hannah?
I am 25.
So I guess, did you, when you were younger, I assume you went to college, right?
I did go to college, yeah.
So I guess right now, like right now I'm 20 and I'm getting ready to, you know, like going from community college to a like a big college in the city. I guess when you were younger, did you have any of those feelings of just like being a, you know, a teenager fresh out of high school, just like wanting to, you know, go away and find something new?
Yeah, definitely. And I still have those feelings for sure. Yeah, like just this summer, I've taken a couple kind of ill-advised road trips. one, I went to LA for the first time and drove there from Texas, so that took a couple days. And then also went to upstate New York for a second, and it's really pretty up there. Have you ever been there? It's gorgeous.
Me, no, personally.
Yeah, well, you can drive there, you know, so.
I need to get up there. I was in Hudson for a little bit. That was really nice.
Yeah. So, yeah, I went to Hudson for a day. It's cute.
Yeah, that kind of describes it perfectly. It's not too much substance. It's cute.
Right. Yeah. I didn't spend a ton of time there, but yeah, it's pretty up there in general. So no, yeah. I mean, my point is, I still feel that way. Trying to go to new places and stuff.
That like theme of awayness and kind of isolation resonates with me a lot too, because I live in kind of northern Michigan, not northern lower peninsula. The upper peninsula is kind of just like discount Canada, but I live like probably it's a 4-hour drive from Detroit, and it's if I get lucky and any bands I like come to Grand Rapids, that's still like a 2.5-hour drive.
Yeah.
So I like relate a lot to that sense of being away from just what's happening in the music scene a lot.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I just went to a Pale Hound show like last week, and it was like a 2-hour drive to get to that show. Closest
on that note, I'm kind of curious, like, how did you, I read an interview where you talked about your brother discovering Elliott Smith and claiming he was like friends with him or something, which I thought was really funny. But other than that, how did you like discover music, being where you were just kind of far from a lot of things? And did you get the chance to really go to shows or?
Yeah. I mean, not really. I mean, me and my shows and my friends' shows in high school and stuff. But I have two older siblings, so, you know, they moved off and would send me back, you know, like the Shins or something. And I was like, oh, sick. This is awesome. in whatever year that was, like 2005 or something. But yeah, not anywhere close to me. I mean, the closest was like Houston, but I didn't go there as a kid. So yeah, I was not a show goer except for the shows I was playing. That's still sadly kind of true, but that's only because I play a lot of jazz.
So you've been playing music for a while. How long have the songs on the first album, how long have they been in kind of circulation? And are any of the new songs from the new album from that era, or are they all written since the new album?
Yeah, so the old record... I started playing with the band that I made that record with. I think we started playing together in 2012. And then spent, I guess it was like a couple of years sort of getting that album together. And none of the songs on the new record are really from that era. I guess... Yeah, probably the oldest one is Interstate Vision. I'm trying to think. It gets all mixed up in my head, the timeline, for sure. And then you know, when I went actually to record that record, the band was just me and my drummer, so that was different. And so I think the songs, even like Interstate or ones that were, I guess, in circulation already, they changed a lot because there's a different people, different setting, and those are the most important parts of making music. So
yeah, I was actually going to ask about like the change in sound, because the first record is a bit more like the pace is a much quicker and it's a bit more rockier, and on this new record you strip things back a little bit. Was this sort of, I assume it was, you know, it's obviously like a very deliberate move, but did like, how did the, I guess the idea, was it just sort of limitations, or was it just, you know, you wanted to strip things back a little bit for the next record and kind of slow the pace down? Because I think it ties in perfectly with the themes of like traveling and being away, just that sort of like that like slight disconnect from the world.
Yeah. Slower. Yeah, that's a good point. I didn't really think of it that way. I thought of it more as I wanted to give the emotions that I was conveying just sort of like a place to sit, and instead of, yeah, in past record, the past record and past music that I've made, I think I tended to make things like really epic or like chaotic or even abrasive sometimes, which are all good and important elements in sound making. But this record, yeah, I wanted it to be gentle, like for myself, to like let myself feel these things, and then also for listeners to be able to sit with it and have it be I don't know, almost like kind, even though it's sad and it's sad.
I'd agree because it's sad, but also like it's very warm emotionally. Like, you know, when I'm listening to it, I just feel very like, it's very comfortable. Like I can, it's like a warm Good. Blanket, but also a warm blanket that makes me cry in my car.
That's the best place to cry, though. I mean, maybe not for safety reasons.
But. I mean, hey, I've had some good cries in cars before. I remember last year I cried listening to Sung Tongs by Animal Collective, like on the way home from like a really awful date, and just. But actually, I was actually going to mention this record. It reminds me a little bit of a band that you're touring with really soon, Pine Grove, and that it's like it's that very like emotionally, it's very warm, but also like very heartbreaking and sad. And actually, I was going to wonder, like, how did you hook up with the Pine Grove boys and girls?
Yeah, they toured through Texas last summer, and asked me to ask Lomelda to open their show in Dallas. So that's when I met them, and then they ended up inviting me on a tour that they did in Europe. So I went to them with when was that? February of this year. So I went with them to Europe, and that's when we became like real friends. They're very, very, very kind people, and I mean, it's just the internet, right? Is the only reason that happened. Yeah, thankful that they have asked me on again.
How was touring Europe? I've heard it's a lot different than touring the U.S.
You know, I don't have a great way to answer that, because that tour in Europe was my first tour.
Oh, I didn't ever. Realize that.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's one way to start.
I know, right? Yeah, flew. It was also my first time abroad too. Like, I had to get a passport and things like that. Yeah, so yeah, I know, right? I flew there and then got in a car with some strangers and traveled around with them for 3 weeks, and it was great. But yeah, a lot of new things for me. I I also know that, you know, I feel the other reason I can't answer that question super well is because I was touring with Pine Grove and they're such, I don't know, kind of a unique group of people. And my experience was so impacted by just being around them the whole time, you know, that, you know, I actually am going back to Europe later this year solo. So that'll teach me a lot. That'll be different.
With the rest of the band or just by yourself?
Just by myself.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. That's,
yeah.
That's to be an experience.
I know.
Yikes. You'll have to like go some emotional digging.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
The new album reminds me a lot of Pine Grove's latest as well. And I hear a lot of like kind of a similarity to Karen O in your singing. But I was wondering what influences you had going into this new record.
Influences I had going into this record. I was really influenced by this woman named Nina Nastasia. And all of her records have been produced by Steve Albini, if you're familiar at all. Famous
nice.
Producer. And so listened a lot to that and went into this record wanting to really focus on like the drum sounds and the vocal sounds and creating like an openness but also that like closeness and warmth that you're talking about. So that was one of the big influences as far as like particularly I was listening to that, and then I would listen to my track and be like, okay, I need to address this and this, you know. But I mean, as far as like just music influences in general, I'm also like I'm a really big fan of advanced bass, Owen Ashworth. I don't know.
The best. I adore his stuff. One of the Casio Tone albums is like Furs, I think is it's called.
Okay.
That one I've been obsessed with, but his stuff with advanced bass is great. Sorry, I adore him.
Yeah, me he's too. Fantastic. Hey. Yeah, I spit out that story about Elliot Smith for Out There, you know, that you mentioned earlier, which is all true. But like that song very much was way more influenced by Owen Ashworth than Elliot Smith. If I'm totally honest. But yeah, I don't know. And then also just like I have a lot of friends who play music and they influence me, you know.
Right. For someone,
sorry,
you can talk.
Gotta love Skype conversations.
That old lag.
The Owen Ashworth comment kind of reminds me of like, he kind of plays with layers a lot just because of the limitations from Casio Tone, the whole idea of using only Casio Tone. And what I've really been enjoying about your music is kind of the way you vary your song structures or song layering, and that some are very barren and others are just like have these really big epic moments. And I was wondering, and the whole album kind of flows in this way that it's like, oh, here, in this really nice way that kind of makes sense. And I was just wondering if you could talk about kind of the process of layering your sounds and kind of creating the full song and how you go from how you kind of encompass both kind of the more barren aspects with the more full aspects. That's a lot of questions, but
yeah,
I'm trying here.
No, I hear you. So all of these songs were recorded like several times before they reached this final versions that you're hearing on the album, including just demoing just me and a guitar, or a live recording with a band, or there's just variations along the way. And I think that was a big factor for me, and I think for a lot of musicians now, we have, you know, you can just set your iPhone down and and then listen back and you have a recording immediately. And just, yeah, digital recording makes it possible for us to have like extensive demos, right? And I don't know about you or folks, but I know for me and for other musicians that I know that often we'll get like really attached to the demo, or like think about, you know, if you heard a demo of, or think about Owen Ashworth, like a lot of his stuff feels like a demo, because it's like that personal, that immediate, like, I just did this and here you go, you know, and that's like really emotional and good. And so I guess that's where my head was at with, you know, if it started to feel distant from the emotion that I felt when I originally demoed it, I would be like, okay, I need to take some things away, or maybe I need to add something, to give it that warmth, or, that's where my head was at with making it, just keep that emotion no matter how much is there or not there, you know?
It's actually, yeah, I was going to mention, like, one of the things that really popped out in my first couple of listens was just, like, the vulnerability of your vocals, where there's times in where like, some of the lyrics, you know, that may, like, come off as, like, just, like, maybe, like, a little, like, okay, like, you know, just, it's the lyrics. They really, like, add, like, an extra emotional punch just because you just say it a certain way, like, the way you open up Bam Shaklam is just like, duh. It's like, I love that so much. Just the way the holding the notes, and just the, you can really just, you just, whatever it's, whatever you, you're just feeling it. And actually, another thing with the layering, I was actually going to mention, like, I'm like, you know, like, I listen to so much music, so I'm always like trying to find like cross reference points. And like the way the production, the layering is like really reminiscent for me of like the Glow Part 2 from the microphones, in how, like, all some right. of these sounds are, like, kind of bouncing off, and then vocally, like, it kind of reminds me a little bit of Angel Olsen, where really, like, giving, like, some words just, like, this really extra power to them, just, and especially, like, the outro, Only World, the last note where you just really hang on, it just, God, it's so powerful. So,
thank you.
So
that was the last one I finished. It took me for so long to do that, you guys. It took me so long. Oh my God. Yeah.
So I guess my question is just like, I guess over the years of doing music, how have you found yourself as a vocalist? Like, how have you kind of, you know, I guess essentially kind of let down your guard, if that makes any sense?
Yeah. So I guess I didn't think of myself as a vocalist, or I didn't think about that. I felt more like I was a writer for a long time. And then I made the Forever record, and listening to it, I can't listen to it because I really despise the vocal performance. It like hurts me. So after that, I realized like how important that was to me, and I re-recorded that record, did the like solo thing, and put that out too. So it's just like the same album but solo, and I actually liked the performance of it. And I guess I just started paying attention to that, and also learned that, like, this sounds silly, but I learned that it could feel really good to sing. if you have the right melody or the right moves, or it's in the right key for you, or whatever it is, it can actually like feel good, or it can feel sad, or it can, like, the actual muscle moves that are going on, have emotions attached to them. Right. And, so that all went into like the writing of all of these songs and things, and then the recording as well.
I guess just another, you know, I guess like a short question about the record, kind of like get away from to slightly get away from the music itself, sure. I think this is your first record on Double Double Whammy. How'd you hook up with those guys?
Yeah, it came about through Bandcamp. Someone, an artist, a Double Double Whammy artist, actually like bought my record on Bandcamp and like sent me a message, and I was a fan, so I was like, oh hi, you know, and they sent the record to Mike, who runs Double Double Whammy, and all through the internet, right? And Mike reached out to me, and I'm like, yeah, I got this record, and he's like, oh, you know, that's nice, and I'm like, well, here, you can listen to it if you want, and so it all worked out, and I was like, yeah, it's funny. I was just thinking about this. I was all set to work with them to put out this record before I even met Mike in person. It all happened on the internet. It was pretty wild.
Nice. Can you say who the artist was that found it?
Oh, yeah, it's Emily Sprague, a florist.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm familiar.
Who's also going on this tour with Pine Grove. I'm really excited about it.
Double Double Whammy is really a great label. Just the amount of great stuff that seems to be coming out on there all the time. So
yeah, I love it. I love working with Mike and working with Aloy, who you talked to. I can't imagine it being any better. It's really, really nice.
I
wanted to throw some other questions, okay. Just some softballs. I guess on this upcoming tour, I mean, what are you most excited to do on this upcoming tour? Places to visit and whatnot, and food to eat.
Yeah, we're playing at the Troubadour in Los Angeles, so that's exciting. We're actually playing in LA twice, which is intense. So I'm excited about that. I'm also excited because I'm going to be playing in Pine Grove for the first time. So that'll be really fun. That's going to be totally new. I haven't even practiced yet, so maybe it won't work out. I don't know. No, I think it will. I'm trying to think, where else are we going? We're going to a lot of sort of places I would never have thought of as destinations, right? So that's kind of cool. Like we're going to Fargo, I think.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I started saying, oh, geez. I was saying it as a reference at first when the TV show came out, and then it just became part of my vocabulary. So like, it's just so ingrained in me now.
That's really good. That's really good. We are playing some Canadian dits as well, too.
Yeah, shouts out to Coen Brothers.
Coen Brothers, come on the Indie Heads podcast when you come out with the next movie, please, if you're listening.
I have a very specific question, but I think the third or fourth song on the new record talks about some New York landmarks, if I'm not mistaken. And I was curious, as someone who personally moved to New York pretty recently and is kind of dealing with that on different layers, I was just kind of curious where that song came from and kind of what the emotions are attached with the city.
Yeah, I have a lot of love for New York City. My first like solo road trip was to New York. I drove there from Texas one time by myself, and I was very unprepared. And
how old were you?
Oh, I was plenty old. I was like, this was like a few years ago. I don't know how many, like not that long ago, but I'd never been before. Maybe it was like 3 or 4 years ago. I really don't know. Sorry. But yeah, I love it, and I where was I going with this? Oh yeah, I was so unprepared. I didn't like have money for any of the tolls. I didn't know that was a thing, and you know, like I let my phone died after I at 11 a.m. the first morning I was there, and I was like, where am I? What am I doing? And you know, it's just silly stuff like that, like not knowing what's up. But still, like, loving it and walking around in the snow in my tennis shoes because I didn't know about that. Oh, was that
the snow? We had one snow, so you got really... wait, this was a few years ago. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I thought
this was a while ago. I think it was, like, a precursor to a blizzard, actually. Oh, yeah, I had to, like, Yeah, it was this crazy blizzard.
Yeah, I kind of remember that.
Yeah, I had to like cut my trip short. I left like in the middle of the night, and or else I was going to get snowed in for like several days. Anyways, yeah, a bunch of nonsense. Me and New York. I think that's a common story, though, right? Right?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess that track in particular. There's a couple lines on that track that are about that first trip I took there when I first got there and got out of my car, and I called like one of my friends who was living in Portland, Oregon at the time, and was just like, yeah, I'm here. And he pulled up Google Maps and was like following me around, and it was just like funny, the world is big, the world is small kind of feeling. And I'm just still the same old Hannah that I've always been, even though I'm in this strange place, you know? So, yeah, some of those feelings were attached to that song for sure.
I like that description, being the same person in a very different place.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Isn't that weird?
Because,
yeah,
especially with New York City, just because just the amount of people, you almost feel like a different person. And I definitely feel like a different person after long times in the city, but you still are, whenever you come back home, which I kind of permanently... or more permanently, I guess, live in a smaller, less populated area, so I can kind of understand.
Yeah.
So you kind of come back to who you are, I guess, in a way.
Totally.
yeah.
I think we ought to get into, I guess, I think, thank you again, Hannah, for coming on the podcast. And,
thanks for having me.
And check out Thanks when it comes out on September 8th. It's on really Double, good. Double Whammy. It's very good.
Real quick, what's everyone's favorite track, including Hannah?
Okay, I'll go first. My favorite track is Bamsh Clam. It's a song my brother wrote, and he let me mess it up for my record. So thank you, Tommy. Hey. Thank you, Bamsh Clam.
I like From Here.
From Here is very good.
Good choice.
Ethan, I guess you can get Ethan.
Sure. I'd say Nervous Driver. I'm not great with track names. That's why earlier I was like the third or fourth track. I also said the wrong Casio tone for the Painfully Alone album. I meant to say Etiquette.
Okay.
I'm bad with names, apparently. But yeah, Maddie, your turn.
This is why I have the track list pulled up, just in case I messed up.
Oh, I have it open, and I'm still bad.
But I think my
favorite... Yeah, I like Never.
Well, I've been listening to the car, so some of the tracks, but I for sure, Only World is probably my favorite track on the album, and one of my, honestly, my favorite outro track of the year so far, just the
wow.
The high praise.
You did it.
But yeah.
Thanks, guys.
But yeah, that just again the way that song builds and the final the note is just so good. But yeah. And so that'll wrap things up for the podcast, and we'll see you guys next time. Bye.
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 Hello.